philosophers, far from ridding me of my vain doubts, only multiplied the doubts that tormented me and failed to remove any of them. And so I chose another guide and said, let me follow the inner light. It will not lead me so far astray as others have done, or if it does, it will be my own fault, and I shall not go far wrong if I follow my own illusions, as if I trusted to their deceits. And that was said by Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. And truly, what a matrix it is, folks, and we certainly do need to take some steps to survive it, but I think we're going to take those steps this year. I think that this is the time, this is the moment that the people wake up and realize that the answers to our problems do not lie in government and political parties, but actually lie with the people themselves. I think that's what is happening. I'm certainly seeing a mass awakening around me everywhere I go. I'm seeing people beginning to realize that the government is not their friend, and that if we want to fix things, we have to come into our own personal power to do it. People are beginning to see that the whole system is theater, folks. It really is. The legal system, the political system, and most especially the rubbish that's fed to people by the media. It's all theater, folks. It's all designed to distract you, lead you down rabbit holes, and keep you attempting to change things by operating within their parameters. Attempting to change the system by voting in a new politician or changing to a new political party, whether it's Republicans or Democrats or Liberal or Labor or the Greens or anybody. It's all corrupt, folks. It doesn't make any difference who you vote for. And so the best thing to do with the system is to simply step away from it and stop participating in the system. I think people are getting that idea, folks, and people are realizing the futility of attempting to change anything within the parameters provided for them by a corrupt system. I think people are starting to realize who and what they are, and they're beginning to realize that the system is fiction. We made the whole thing up. It's just a bunch of parameters that have been put there by public servants in order to tie us up in red tape and not allow any real progress to be made. And people are beginning to wake up to the fact that all the things that the government claims it's doing to help us and protect us are actually there to hinder us and hurt us and take our rights away from us and control us more and more and more. This is what every single political party does, regardless of what the political party calls itself, folks. This is the way the system is constructed. You see, that's why it's enormously frustrating seeing people mounting protests and mounting organizations and attempting to challenge the system or challenge parts of the system by using the parameters that the system provides for them to do so. Such things such as the coal seam gas movement here in Australia, which is continually flailing up against a wall of indifference because it's using parameters provided by the system which create this indifference. We have to step above it, folks. We have to realize that the system is simply run by a group of public trustees, and we have to understand what we are. We have to understand the power of our flesh, the power of mankind to create, because that's what we are. We're mankind, and we cannot operate using the parameters of a system that we constructed in order to address the problems of the system. We have to step above it. And I truly believe this, folks. I truly believe that this is the only place that remedy to our situation will be found. It's the only place it can be found because it is the only place it exists. It has to exist within the hearts of the people. That's what freedom is, folks. It's within your heart. And if you do not know you are free within your heart, then you're really fighting an uphill battle right from the word go. People simply have to realize that the system itself is fiction. It's something that we created, apparently to service our needs if we are to believe what we are told. But really the important thing to know is that the system was created by mankind. It's not some mythical beast that's coming to get you. It's a man-made creation. And the only thing that can really stand against it is the power of community. And that's why we have to have this communal strength. And we have to honor those within our community in order to do this. See, that's the big clincher, folks. You've got to honour the people around you. You've got to honour those in your community. You've got to honour the diversity of community. Now, we are really all one, but we are all individual at the same time because each one has a completely unique perspective of reality. And until we can realise that and honour that, we're not going to change anything. But I think people are beginning to get the idea. I'm certainly seeing a lot of it happening here in Australia, a lot of it around me. I experience a lot of it on the property here, actually, where I live, because I live on a 52-acre property just outside Byron Bay, and we have a lot of people from various countries coming here to work on the gardens. And we have a little bit of a woofer hut set outside. I'll actually take some video of it and I'll include it with the YouTube version of this radio show, and I'll show you the garden we've got out in the backyard, and I'll show you the little workers' huts and the little camping area we've got there for all the garden workers to come along. But I'm seeing within these garden workers, because they all come from so many different countries, folks. We get people here from Sweden, people from Canada, people from America, people from Israel, people from everywhere come here to work on the gardens. And I get to talk to a lot of them, and I haven't yet spoken to anyone that was not at least a little bit aware of the global situation and was not taking steps to free themselves from it. So that's been very good to see. And it's great having such a diverse cross-section of people coming right through the property that I live on and being able to hear their opinion on things, their opinion of their own country, their opinion of the world in general as they travel, you know, the way they perceived it as they travel. It's very interesting to talk to these people and to hear what their take on things is. And what I've heard has actually been very, very encouraging. So we are certainly on the way, folks, and I think we're going to see some massive changes this year as the world wakes up. Of course, we're also seeing a huge ramping up of the disinformation campaign as well. I mean, things such as the shooting in Connecticut that I touched on last week. I mean, there are so many things about that that demand answers that we're simply not getting. And we're going to see a lot more of this, folks. I think as the year goes on, we're going to see a lot more of these staged events, and we're going to see a further ramping up of the counterintelligence and disinformation campaigns such as we've already seen on the internet as well. And of course, this is necessary in order to embellish real information to the point where it becomes unbelievable, because that's the way counterintelligence works, folks. This is very similar to what you see in tabloid magazines that tell you that Elvis is still alive and that the lady next door got married to an alien and had a baby. They do all this sort of stuff so that people don't look into the UFO stuff. They don't look into anything because the tabloids tell them that all of this stuff is going on. So that's why we've seen such an escalation in tabloid-type websites in the last year. I believe many of them have been leading up to this year and providing a screen of cover for events such as what we just saw in Sandy Hook, Connecticut. I've actually also been accused of being disinformation, folks, of course. I mean, it's great when this happens, really, because you know when you're making a difference when the government shills start attacking you. Which is, of course, to be expected. When one makes a statement that hurts the system, of course, you get attacked for making the statement. And it's kind of interesting, folks, because there's very few people on the internet that are offering solutions and telling people to step away from government completely. And I'm the one that's doing that. And so if I'm disinformation and I'm posting stuff there that the government wants me to post, well, I'd suggest the government is seeking to bring about their own demise, folks. Because if more of the world was actually to listen to what I've said on the many hundreds of radio shows I've done, and they were to take this information on and make it part of their own lives and their own reality, then I think the system would crumble before our eyes. And I would suggest that you question why the government would be saying the things that I am saying and actually offering solutions and empowerment to the people the way I have done for the last 5 years on this radio show. And I actually intend to be in the United States later in this year, so I intend to go to Dallas, Texas, and confront this individual, and I'll get the whole lot on video, and we can have this person expose themselves as the fraud that they are on camera. Though that does, of course, depend on their willingness to meet with me, which is probably doubtful, as meeting with me would expose them as the fraud that they are. But I can try anyway. And that should be something to look forward to. That will probably be around about July, though I'm not quite certain at this stage, but that will be an interesting event. My son wanted to go to Dallas this year, and I've never been to the United States. It's somewhere that I've really tried to avoid, folks. I don't want to go particularly to the United States, but I'll go there because my son wants to go there. My son's a bit of a gamer, and there's some sort of gaming thing happening there in July that he wants to go and meet all his friends and participate in. So perhaps I'll take the opportunity to go to Dallas, Texas for a couple of weeks in July and catch up with some people in the area just to set things to rest once and for all. That's, of course, if I can afford the costs of getting there. Of course, I have to move from this lovely property that I'm on. I think I mentioned that a week or two ago as well. I've been here for 3 years, folks, and I have to move now, which is a great shame. I mean, it's been a very, very handy spot to have been living, and it was great because I was able to, like, disappear overseas for 3 months and not really be concerned about all of my things back here because of the place that I live. I knew everything would be safe. And so that's a little bit of a spanner in the works, but hey, all these things happen for a reason, and I'm sure something will come along exactly as it is supposed to. And after all, a change is as good as a holiday. Well, so they say anyway. Of course, the trip to Dallas will also depend on what I'm doing with the Full Circle project next year. And the Full Circle project that I've mentioned on a couple of shows, I think I've mentioned it on a couple of interviews, this was supposed to start in February or March of 2013, but it's actually morphing into something quite huge, and so it may not actually even start until July or August, as it may take a little time to put together. It really has morphed into something quite large, folks, and in order to do it properly, it is going to need a little bit of organization. And I might touch on it a little bit later on in the show and give you a little bit of an idea of what the project is actually going to be about and what its objectives are, what its mission is, simply because now it is morphing into something that's a little bit more coherent. And so I am able to offer you a little bit of what's going on, or what the plan is anyway. But again, it's going to depend on funding, and it's most certainly going to depend on the participation of the people in the areas that we go to. But I'll try to remember to touch on that a little bit later in the show for you. I think it's really important for people to get involved this year, folks. Whatever it is you were expecting from the so-called 21st of December 2012 shift that many people were so looking forward to, as I've been telling you for years, these are things you have to participate in. Any change that we're going to see in the world is something that we all need to participate in. And when you look at what's actually going on in the world, folks, the austerity measures that are happening right around the globe, the coal seam gas mining, it's in every country. They're destroying the water table in every country. And when you look at the reduction in global water stocks, you can see why this is happening. This is Agenda 21. This is pushing people into concentrated areas, getting them out of the country, getting them into concentrated city dwellings, because people can be much more easily contained and controlled when they are in densely populated areas. And this is where it's all leading. The transhumanist agenda that I spoke about in my last film, and the system of surplusing and warehousing of human beings that we see presented to the world by Israel with what they're doing in Palestine, the dispossession of the people through carbon tax, everything that's happening, folks, the world really does need to pay attention, and they need to understand what the remedy is. They need to see the remedy with their own eyes, or realize the remedy with their own hearts, would probably be a better way of putting it. But that's what needs to happen. You know, we've got to step up to the plate and be responsible custodians of this planet. Now stop going down rabbit holes and stop looking for people to point the finger at. Stop attacking the system using the parameters of the system and realize that the remedy lies in you knowing who you are and standing in that space, standing in that energy. Knowing in your heart that you are free, knowing that there is nobody better or nobody worse than you. We are all in this together. We are all equal. We are all as diverse as you could possibly be, and yet we are all one, and we are all in this together. And collectively, we have the power to bring about some real change in this world. But it's not going to come if we don't respect each other. That's the ultimate thing, folks. And I believe that if you don't respect others, then really you don't respect yourself. all these people accusing me of being disinformation. Okay, show me. Show me. Come and visit me. I live in Byron Bay. Come to Byron Bay. I'll go and meet you in town. Come and meet me. I'll bring you to my house like I've done with hundreds and hundreds of other people. You know, why can't people understand that we are all in this together and that the answers to the problems don't lie in rabbit holes that people provide for you? They lie in your heart and they lie in your ability to respect the people around you. Now, it's that loss of respect is really such a huge part of our problems, folks. And this society, it's designed to be this way. Everybody's divided. Even people that I know who are apparently awake seem to be divided from those around them. They've all got stuff with other people, problems with their ego that gets in the way and prevents them from interacting with people on a real level and treating people in Lakesh as themselves. You know, there is so much wisdom in the words in Lakesh. I am another you. You are another me. We are each other. It's more than a greeting. It's a code of conduct. It's a way of life. It's a way of interacting with reality that changes everything if you can live your life in this manner. And that's where the solutions lie, folks. The solutions lie with each of us, changing our perspective, changing what's in our hearts. That's the only way change will ever come. It gets enormously frustrating seeing people battling the system, people getting angry with each other. I mean, I get angry with government shills accusing me of being disinformation. You can't help it. The system's designed that way, and that's what it's all about as well. And that's what a lot of these disinformation sites do. They get you angry. They get you pointing the finger at people because that's the energy they want. And while you're dispelling energy in anger by pointing the finger at people and screaming and yelling, you're not dealing with reality around you. You're not doing anything to change your attitude. You're not doing anything to create unity in your community. You're not doing anything to actually address the system. All you're doing is shaking your fist at a phantom and feeling like you've done something. That's why they put it all there for you to do. That's why people continually give you rabbit holes and continually give you people to point the finger at, because they don't ever want you looking within and seeing the power that you actually have within you to change things if you were to simply just change your heart space and change the way you interact with reality, change the way you interact with the people around you. That's where the remedy lies. Imagine a whole society doing this, folks. If the whole society started to respect each other, all the walls would break down immediately and the system would collapse. If people stopped basing their lives on profiting from those around them, stopped basing their lives on an economic model, and started basing it on reality, started basing it on human interaction and human experience and quality of life. And by quality of life really is the quality of your environment. And your environment is the earth. So if the earth is in a state of disrepair and it is in a state of bad quality, then what is the quality of your life? Now, quality of life isn't a shiny Comgo and a plasma screen TV and all the latest trinkets. Quality of life is a pristine environment because you have respected life and you have respected reality and you've respected the earth that you live upon. And you're only going to do that if you respect yourself and respect other people. That's the only way it will ever be achieved, folks. If people simply respected each other and started treating people around them in Lakesh and living by that code, the whole corporate system would collapse immediately. It would simply collapse because there is no place for it in a heart that's open. It just couldn't possibly exist. So all the rabbit holes that people are sending you down, folks, don't forget about yourself in the process. Don't forget about what is happening right now, right around you, right now, and what is happening in your heart. What space are you in? And how are you interacting with the world around you? Are you noticing what is going on right now? Or are you living in the past, or living in the future, or living down a rabbit hole, having found someone to point the finger at and direct your anger at? Because you need to act, you need to do something, and you don't know what to do, and so that is all you have, is to latch on to that hatred and latch on to that finger pointing and direct your energy in that direction simply because you need an outlet. But really, folks, the most satisfying outlet of all is to find yourself, find the power in your heart, and apply it to the world around you, because that's how the world changes. And as the custodians of this planet, that's what we need to do. We seriously need to do this, folks. Put down all the aggression. Put down all the hatred. put down all the finger pointing and apply yourself to the world in which you live. It's really that simple. It's fascinating, really, all the things that are put there to divide us, folks, and to keep us divided, to keep us arguing amongst ourselves. Even with this Connecticut shooting and the anti-gun lobby and the gun lobby. It was an interesting confrontation. And again, it perpetuates that anger. Personally, I believe the Second Amendment is extremely important, and I believe that it needs to be stood by, and that the people of the United States need to keep their guns. And this is coming from a person who doesn't own a gun, who's never had a gun. I've never even fired a gun. I'm just not into guns. They're not part of my life. But I can see the need for them because our governments are so corrupt. I mean, especially the United States government is so corrupt that I cannot see any good coming from giving a corrupt government more power and in the process taking away from the people the only means that they have with which to defend themselves. And to me, that is pure madness, and that's why I support the continuation of the Second Amendment, and I support the right for the American people to bear arms. I mean, in a perfect world, we would have no guns. No one would need any guns, but that perfect world is not going to happen while we have this corrupt system, and it's not going to happen while the people that we have on this planet do not respect each other. And of course, the failure of the people to respect each other is mostly because that's the way people are trained to be, because of the state of contrived scarcity that they're kept in by the monetary system that the government supports so much. So ultimately, folks, it always comes back to the people. It always comes back to the people taking the matter in hand and standing in the power that they have. Because I really believe we can affect change. We can bring about some very, very positive change in the world, and we are the generation that can do it. But we have to be prepared to stand in the power that we inherently have, and this will only ever succeed if we live in a society and in a community that respects each other. I mean, that's like I said earlier, folks, that's the clincher. It really is the clincher, is respect. We've got to have that respect. And like I said as well, you're not going to get that until you start respecting yourself. Which is why it doesn't matter pointing down rabbit holes. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anybody's done. It matters what we do. It matters what we do from this point forward. I mean, I'm sure there's people out there who hold grudges and they want to hold people accountable. They want to see people jailed. They want retribution and all that sort of stuff. And okay, that's fine. If there are people out there that really want to do that and that's their karma, well, that's fine. They can do that. But personally, I don't need that. I don't particularly need retribution to be exacted upon anyone. Because I believe that once we start respecting each other, then these people will exact their own karma upon them. They'll be forced to live in a society that they were treading on, and they'll be forced to face people every day and live in a world that holds no judgment to them for what they did. And perhaps they will grow through that process. Perhaps they will grow and they won't come back and do it again. You just can't hold grudges with people. It doesn't make any sense. I don't hold grudges to the people who are accusing me of being somebody else and accusing me of being disinformation. But hey, incredibly synchronistic, because here I am getting attacked by someone from Dallas, and I've got no reason to really go to Dallas or have anything to do with the place, but then suddenly I get a message from my son that he'd really like to go to Dallas. And so synchronicity wins, and now I'm off to Dallas because it wants to happen. You see, everything happens for a reason, folks, and so now I can just simply go there, roll up at the front door and say, well, here I am, let's just go on camera, and you can explain to all the people out there how I'm somebody else right here on camera, and of course you're not going to be able to do that, so you'll be exposing yourself as the liar and shill that you are. If this person refuses to come and meet with me, well, then of course they've also exposed themselves by default, so it's a perfectly practical thing to do. But again, I don't hold any animosity towards this person, but they are a liar, and they do need to be shown up as the liar that they are. So there's the perfect opportunity to do this and expose this person in a very peaceful way. And at the same time, that will see the dismantling of that particular counterintelligence operation as well. And it isn't that I particularly just want to go to Dallas to have a confrontation with this person, it's just that I'm being led there. So obviously, the universe wants me to expose this counterintelligence operation, so I guess that's what I'll be doing. And I believe we can deal with all of our problems in a peaceful way if we simply face the problems head on, folks. And really, a lot of the problems that we face are the problems that we have within, because we don't ever face the power that we have. We're often very, very scared of the power that we have. But we have the power to confront any problem that is thrown against us. We have the power to confront anybody who accuses us or speaks against us or sets up mechanisms to discredit us. If we are innocent of the crimes we are accused of, we have the power to confront any of them by simply standing in the power of our heart. And that's what we need to do. And I've always said that one of the most important things to do is to lead by example. And so it is shaping up to be a very interesting year, folks, because I've got a lot of stuff planned, and now a trip to Dallas is also going to be part of it. Of course, if there's anybody who would like me to do any engagements while I'm there, perhaps you'd like to organise a meeting, we could come and have a bit of a gathering, I could meet a few people or whatever, I'd be happy to do something like that while I'm in the area as well. And like I said, that will probably be around about July, because I think that's when the gaming conference that my son wants to attend is being held, but I will have to keep you posted on the finer details as they come to hand. My life's kind of like that at the moment, folks. I don't really know what I'm doing from one day to the next as far as travel and accommodation arrangements go. It's just a very synchronistic journey for me at the moment, and I'm kind of enjoying it, really, to be honest. I like following synchronicity, and I think that this is really shaping up to be a very powerful year, and there are certain forces in play basically forcing me to remove a lot of the clutter that I currently have in my life, because I've been here in this cabin for 3 years now and stuff just has a way of accumulating. You see, life will tend to do that to you, folks. If you get too comfortable, if you get too complacent, if you get too distracted by your surroundings, sometimes it will throw you what may appear to be a curveball to start with, but actually it's something that you need in order to reach the next level on your journey, because really, the whole journey is about experience, isn't it? So it's good to really experience as much as you can. We often tend to create little bubbles of safety for ourselves, and we get too frightened to ever step outside of our bubble. And of course, we do need security around us. We do need to have somewhere secure to be able to go and rest our head at night. But really, we can have that security without having to build a bubble of false reality around us. And like I said, very often when you get into these situations of complacency, then life will give you a little push to take you to the next level. So perhaps that's really what it's all about. Time for change, folks. And really, when you look at it, about the only thing in life that remains consistent is life's propensity for change. But look, I think it's break time here, folks. And so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. And I'll come back and speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes life just throws situations at us. Sometimes it throws us into positions where we have no choice but to accept change into our lives, where we have no choice other than to pay attention to what is actually going on and realize the power we have to control these situations. No one really controls your life but you, folks. I mean, very often you may think someone controls your life, but really what you're being offered is an opportunity to find yourself and find your own power. I've always managed, through holding my head high, to be able to get through most situations. Well, not always. I mean, I was as messed up as everybody else when I was younger. I mean, I was certainly no angel. I don't pretend that I've always been as aware as I am and that I've always lived my life the way I do now. I was a musician for a long time. I was indulgent. I was self-centered. I had very much of a victim mentality for a long time. I thought the world was against me. I thought I'd never fit in anywhere. I didn't fit in. I was different to everybody else. And I was quite literally my own worst enemy because of the feelings of inadequacy that I had. It was a long time before I realized that these feelings came from society and that what I was actually running through was programs. These are feelings and emotions and responses that had been programmed into me. And this is a pretty big thing, folks, because I was born awake and aware. When I was 4 years old, I was questioning reality. I couldn't figure it out. I didn't understand why it was the way it was. And I started really researching and investigating things when I was about 8. And even with that background and even with that knowledge, society managed to program me. I got programmed without even knowing that I was being programmed. And it's pretty obvious that I was programmed, folks, because like feeling inadequate, this is a program. Feeling that you're not as good as everybody else, this is a program. The trick is to know that. The trick is to know that you are as good as everybody else, you're the same as everybody else, and if you're thinking that you're not, then what you're doing is running a program. And don't get me wrong, folks, when I'm saying you're the same as everybody else, I'm not saying you're a clone and you need to think that way and we need to be uniform. What I'm saying is that we all come from the same source. And I've explained on countless shows how you can be one with everything else and yet completely unique and individual in your own right at the same time, because that's how reality works. If it didn't work that way, reality wouldn't function. It has to work that way. So don't get me wrong when I say you're all the same, but you are. You're just as good, you're just as worthwhile, you're just as unique, and you're just the same as everybody else. It's just that you're programmed to not know this, to not think this, to always view yourself as a victim, and you're programmed to think in certain ways. And it's a great thing now that people are beginning to wake up to this, but that's mainly because it's now in their face. And unfortunately, one of the waking up processes I'm seeing is that people are realizing it usually when some crisis happens in their lives and it causes the programming to break down. And I'm seeing that very much with a lot of people. Earlier I was mentioning the garden we have outside and the woofers that we have, the workers that come and work on the gardens. One of the workers out there at the moment has just lost his house, a $240,000 home that he built himself. It's now owned by the bank. He took it to court and he couldn't believe the lack of regard for his well-being that the court had and how willing it was to hand his possessions over to the banksters. It was a real eye-opening for him. And now he is working here on the garden and he's receiving unemployment benefits. And he readily admits that just a few weeks ago, he would look at people who are receiving unemployment benefits and he would view them with disdain. And he would think, you're just a no-hoper, mate. Why don't you go and get a job? And then suddenly he was put in a position where he was homeless and he lost his job. And now he's receiving benefits and he readily admits that it's a different world. And he's shocked at how easily society has discarded him. And this is what society does, folks. It creates this mindset in people where we judge others if they're in a position that's worse than ourselves. We look at poor people and we see them as a threat to our safety. We see them as no hopers. We see them as people who never amounted to anything because of their own inadequacies. But really, they're very often people that have been discarded by society. And very often they've been discarded because they did not know how to stand in their power. And again, folks, this is a program. So even though we are responsible for what happens in our lives, often we don't even understand the fact that we are responsible for our lives because we're programmed to think differently. And that's what I've been trying to present to people on these radio shows. Mainly, that's been the main objective of everything I've tried to do since even beginning these broadcasts, is to help people comprehend and discover the power that exists within them. Because I believe that once we discover this power, we can have powerful communities. And powerful communities have the ability to change the world. Indeed, one person has the ability to change the world if they have an idea whose time has come. And I think the idea whose time has come is the idea that we are powerful, the idea that we finally have an opportunity for freedom, and all we have to do to gain this freedom is to understand the power that we have. And this is the power of love, the power of respect, the power of empathy, the power of service to creation. This is the power that we all have within our hearts. All we have to do is know how to stand in that power. And standing in your power, I mean, it's something that you know inside. I mean, I've talked about this so often. For me, my power is knowing who and what I am. It's knowing what I come from. It's knowing that I come from the divine stuff of the universe. It's knowing that I'm completely unique.
Like, say, for example, you go to court and the judge tells you you must be subject to the laws of your peers. Well, couldn't you then theoretically ask the judge if you can be identified by your DNA? And if the court replies, yes, you can, well, then you could say, well, then, according to your own medical and biological evidence, I am completely unique and therefore I have no peers. I mean, hey, it's your system and this is what the evidence indicates to be true, so if you're claiming otherwise, please show me proof of claim and where do we go from here?
And that's just one example of how to think about these things, folks. I mean, there's so many examples of how to work through this legal system, but it all comes down to knowing who and what you are. That's what it's about. And there's no one who can really write any templates for you because no one can know every response you're going to receive from judges or lawyers or whatever. It's up to you to know that you are a flesh and blood sentient being, divine under God, whatever you perceive God to be, and that no one has any power over you. And realizing that the people that you're dealing with are just people, the same as you, and if you can ask them the right questions, you can usually find your way through things, but you have to be able to hold your head high. And the way you can really do this, folks, is to know who and what you are. And I know that might sound trite to people. Oh, you're always telling me to know who and what I am, but what do you mean? And to be honest, folks, I've done whole shows where I've spoken about the divine stuff of the universe. I made a film called The Awakening, where I really attempted to help people understand the power of their feelings and emotions. If you still don't know who and what you are, perhaps you could go back and revisit that film. Or perhaps some of the earlier radio shows I did in 2009 or 2010. Remember back in 2009, I was very much focused on energy and very much focused on people's emotions and how we interact with reality. It kind of got to the stage where I was banging the same drum for so long that I figured I'd better change topics. And so I've sort of moved on to a lot of other stuff since then. But the information is there if you wish to go back and revisit some of those old shows and some of those old films that I made. I mean, it's knowing who you are, folks, and there is no template that I can give you. A lot of people write to me and they ask me for templates. I've got a fine, I've got this, I've got that. Can you tell me how to free myself from this debt? And all I can really say to them is that you need to know who and what you are, and you need to know who and what the people in the court are. You need to know who and what the system is. And all of this information exists inside of you if you know who you are. Like I said, I know what I come from. I know that I'm just a frequency. I know that life is just an experience and that when this curtain falls, then a new door will open. And it's always been like that. The really important thing is what I do with the experience while I'm here. And I believe a lot of what this experience is a journey of self-discovery. Of course it is, because all of the information that you gather through your life, the only thing that you can be 100% certain about is yourself. It's who you are and what you did with the time that was given to you. That's really the only thing you can know for certain, that you can be a 100% authority on, is yourself. It just sometimes takes us a good many years to realize this, because we're always searching for our life in something that is external to ourselves. We're searching for happiness, we're searching for fulfillment, we're searching for success in things which are external to ourselves. But what is important is ourselves, because that is who and what we are. That is us, that is our experience, and that is the only thing that we can ever know for certain. But we often miss that because we're too busy being distracted, trying to live up to the expectations and yardsticks that society has set up for us, and we're always attempting to operate within fictional paper-based parameters rather than operating from our heart.
and living our life in service to creation. And I absolutely believe that that is the purpose of life. That is the way through life anyway. Perhaps not the purpose, but that is certainly the way through life, is to live your life in service to creation. When you do this, yourself becomes apparent. You find yourself by default. When you can respect yourself and you can respect others, then you find yourself by default. But very often that respect for yourself is the hard thing. See, that's why we judge others, folks, is because we lack respect for ourselves. We see someone as a threat to ourselves. And so we judge them, we repel them from our life, we get that feeling away from us, because that feeling that we get from those people is a threat to how we perceive ourselves. And these are all programs, folks. They're all programs. We're programmed to judge ourselves by the way we measure ourselves up to the parameters that have been set there and put there for us by society. It's very, very clever. It's like I was saying before about the man who recently lost his house and now he's on unemployment benefits, and it's changed his perspective completely. But what has become apparent to him, I was talking to him, I said, when you notice this, you notice the feeling that you had for people who were in a state of shortage. You viewed them with disdain, and yet now you are one of those people. And you can see, because of the attitude that you had for these people, why people who are still affluent, people who are still in a state of security, have now viewed you with disdain. And you can see how it's a program. And this program has been put in place in order to be able to discard members of society gradually. More and more people get discarded, and as soon as they're thrown on the pile, they're forgotten about by the rest of society, because society is programmed to think that way. All these things are programs, folks. But now that you've been discarded, you have an opportunity to be aware of the system and to start working to implement positive change, to help other people become aware of the system, to change the system from what it is back to one that supports mankind. And you could also look on the bright side. I mean, you have an opportunity for a fresh start. You have an opportunity to lose your attachment to possessions, because you don't really possess anything. You don't really own anything. You're only actually here for a little while, and when you die and that curtain goes down and a new door opens, you're going to go into that new doorway naked with nothing, and you're going to have to start again. You're going to be even leaving physicality. So if during your time in this reality you are too caught up in possessions, too caught up in physical sensations, then you're going to find yourself in a very difficult spot when you enter that new world, when you enter that new doorway. Because this reality provides us with physical sensation. It provides us with physical objects and things that we can accumulate around us to build a ivory tower for ourselves that we perceive to be ourselves. But ultimately, that's not what it's about. Ultimately, we're given the opportunity to do this if we want to. I mean, we can go down that path. We're given all the tools that we need to be completely indulgent, completely self-centered, and to mess things up totally, should we choose to do so. But it's a choice. It's a choice of what we do with it. It's a choice of how we use these things. Because we really are in control of our own lives, folks. And there'll be people that'll argue this. There'll be people who say, well, hang on, the world's run by a corrupt corporate system. We've got banksters in control of our country. We've got the whole society enslaved to a state of artificial debt. How can you say I'm in control? But again, folks, you have a choice as to whether you wish to comply with that system. And the only thing that really keeps you complying with it is fear, because you have this fear of death. You have a fear of what the outcome would be if you didn't comply with it. Whereas really, it's how you approach it. And if we spread the information that you can get from radio shows such as this and from all the documentaries and all the films and all the information that's out there now, if you can spread this to your neighbours, find the most coherent thing, the thing that may crack the shell, and spread it to the people around you, then you can help bring about change. It just depends on what you choose to do with your time. Because ultimately, we are in control of our own lives. If we're in this situation, it's because we've allowed this situation to happen. And you might be someone out there who's incredibly poor, and you feel like a victim because of it.
Well, folks, I'm incredibly poor. I live day to day. I really do. I scrape through on the meagre donations that I get, which are few and far between. And I don't really have any source of income at all. I mean, I certainly don't have many possessions. I mean, possessions are just stuff, and it's not stuff that I really need to have. I live in a one-room cabin, and I don't even eat meals every day. But still, that's the life that I've chosen to have. I don't really see the need to eat any more than I need to eat to survive. I just eat when I'm hungry, whenever that may be. And I don't see the need to have a lot of stuff. This is the choice that I've made for myself. My life is the life that I have chosen. And it always is. It's usually that way for everybody if they can really understand how it works and look at things on a deeper level. We really are in control of our own lives, folks. And again, there'll be people that argue this and I'll say, well, hang on, what if you're born in Palestine? How can you possibly be in control of your own life? And there's a lot of truth to this. I mean, you've got a country here that's under siege. The people within its borders are kept in an extreme state of shortage through no fault of their own. How can these people be responsible for the position they're in? How can the children of Palestine be responsible for that? Well, I'm not saying that they're responsible. What I'm saying is that what they do with their lives is up to them. Sure, they may not be able to leave the country, but the attitude that they have towards the people around them is what makes a difference. Even if they're born into that situation of extreme shortage and extreme scarcity, they still have the opportunity to lead by example in all that they do. And to be quite honest, that's what many of the people in Palestine have done. Because the people that I met in Palestine, even though they are in such an extreme state of hardship, these are the most generous, the most giving, the most kindest people I've ever met. And so they are a shining example of this, of the strength that you can gain from giving to others. Because you are responsible for what happens in your life. You may not be responsible for your circumstances in a situation such as Palestine, but you are responsible for what you do with that time. No matter what position you are in, you still have the opportunity to serve creation and to lead by example in all that you do. Even if you are born into absolute abject poverty, you still have the opportunity to have a good heart and to serve creation around you. And that might, again, sound trite. It might sound weird for me to say that, but I don't know, after the trip that I just did, I mean, even when I was entering into Palestine, when I was crawling into that little tunnel, and I did question whether I would come out the other end, because it was there, I'm in the Middle East, I'm in Rafah, there's this little tunnel that's like a crawl space, it's over a kilometre long, it's 50 metres below ground, I'm being led in there by people who I can't even speak their language, I don't know what I'm walking into, but I didn't have any fear and I didn't have any judgement and I didn't have any problem with doing so. I mean, I looked at the hole and I thought all of that, but that took about a half a second for me to look at it, think that, and make the decision to crawl in. It was that simple, because it felt right. It felt like this is just the way it is. And even dealing with the court system and non-compliance, all of this is about removing fear from your life. I have no fear of death. I have no fear of these people. I'm able to have a reasonable command of the language because I've taught myself to speak, because I have the choice to do that. I have the choice to learn the language. I have the choice to learn to speak eloquently, should I wish to do so. This is all choice. I have the choice to be a musician. I have the choice to be a drunk out on the pile and sleep in the park if I want. I have the choice to do any of these things. I have the choice to be a banker. I have the choice to be a businessman. I have the choice to do anything I want to do. It's all about choice. And I do the things I do because I've made the choice to know who I am, and I've made the choice to always stand in my power and to serve creation by my every action. I believe justice is conscience, and I will always act in accordance with my conscience. And I feel that if I am living in a society controlled by public trustees who are not serving creation, who are damaging the earth, who are polluting the environment, who are
worshipping and supporting a corporate system that is raping this planet, who are putting all the people in this country and in every country in a state of shortage while all the resources of this planet are stripped bare and a total control grid is imposed upon the population, then that's not acceptable because my mandate is to act in service to creation. And if I'm being subject to a legal system which is suggesting that I do something other than serve creation, then of course I'm going to question the legal system, and I do so because I have no fear of the consequences of doing so. Because I know who and what I am, and I have no fear of death, I have no fear of change, and I have no emotion attached to outcome. It's simply about the experience, and it's about what I do with that experience. What type of custodian of reality am I? What sort of a future am I creating for my son? Am I leaving the world in a better place? Am I leaving the world in a better condition than when I found it? And most importantly, have I been responsible for my actions? And how much knowledge have I accumulated about myself? Have I grown into something better than what I was when I arrived here? Because ultimately, that's why I'm here, folks. I'm here to learn about me. And one thing that I have learned is that what's really and truly important about me is how I interact with reality, how I interact with the world around me, how I interact with the people, with the animals, with the trees, with the ocean, with the sky. And again, this is something that we very often miss because we are taught to externalize things and to always look at reality from a perspective that is external to ourselves, when really that's not what we're here to do. And folks, when I speak about being in service to creation, I'm not suggesting that you turn yourself into a slave, that you allow yourself to become the servant of others. Service to creation means a love of all creation, and this also means a love for yourself and a respect for yourself. All of this comes from a respect for yourself first and foremost, before anything else, because you're not even able to experience this connection to reality around you until you find this inner respect for yourself, because it is found through the inner peace that only comes with self-respect. When you can respect yourself, then you can respect others. When you can respect yourself and others and begin to live your life with the sentiment of in Lakesh, it almost becomes an obligation to fix things in this world, because it becomes a matter of responsibility. It really does, and I believe we can fix things by knowing who we are, by always standing in the power of doing what is right and standing in service to creation and always confronting problems head on. I think we need to do this. If there is a problem, we need to confront it. Do not back away from problems. Always confront them head on. Every problem is an opportunity, folks, and opportunities are presented to you for a reason. The reason I'm being attacked with counterintelligence from Dallas is, I believe, an opportunity for me to address the problem of this counterintelligence that's infiltrating into the truth movement. They certainly made a mistake by attacking me, folks, I'll tell you, because I do like to take problems to their source and to meet them head on. And I truly believe that that's why I've been attacked. That's why the universe has brought this to me, so that I now have the opportunity to confront that problem and expose the counterintelligence for what it is. But again, it's my choice as to whether I choose to meet the problem head on, whether I choose to apply empathy to the situation. And empathy is the only reason that I would do it, folks. As I said, I don't hold any grudges towards the people that are doing this to me. I just simply see it as the situation that's been presented to me, because reality is giving me the opportunity to address the situation. I think I'm being called to address it. And as I said, the synchronicity that's led up to it is also very telling. It just seems like it wants to happen. And we can do this with all the problems that we face, especially the problems with government and the problems with our society. But the thing is with our society, folks, is that it's got to be a group effort. It's got to be a collective thing. And that's why I always urge people to get involved. You see, it has to start with the individual, folks. All great change has come about ultimately from the actions of one individual. It's just up to the individual to choose to get involved. So do, folks, get involved. start respecting yourself and you'll want to get involved. That's the thing. That's the trick. It all comes down with that inner power that you have, and it's there. All you have to do is look and you will find it. Well, we're about at the end of the show, folks. Thank you very much for joining me on the show today. I completely forgot about talking about the Full Circle Project again. I'll try to remember to do it next week. I did want to give you a little bit of information about it, but I got completely sidetracked. So it's all over for the day, folks. I am now completely out of time. Thank you to anybody who's ever helped with the website, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then. In La Cache, my friends. In La Cache.